Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Dance Off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there. This is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool. I mean, Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff. This is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to another issue of Hey Kids Comics. As you heard there, I'm your host, Dan Collins, and I've got a few guests with me today. Don't jump in all at once, you guys.
Hey, it's Martin Bird.
Hi, and it's Sam Tweedle back after 3 weeks. It's been 3 weeks since I've been here. Aren't you glad to have me back?
It's been three quiet weeks.
Yeah. So glad.
You know, it's amazing. I've listened to all the shows. Actually, I didn't listen to last week's show yet, but I've listened to the other shows on the brilliant Hey Kids Comics.
HeyKidsComics.ca. If you're going to do a, like, you know, plug off the side, just like, oh, by the way, at least get it smoothly.
Okay,
so
perfect. Well, anyways.
Stand out.
Wait a sec. We have a website?
No.
So anyways, I've listened to the show, and it's amazing because I'm sitting there at home, and I'm listening to you guys talk about stuff, and I'm like, oh my God, I want to rant about that. I want to talk about that, and I'm not here. And it's very frustrating because then I start, like, wanting to monologue at my cats or something like that, and they don't really listen.
No, they just turn and walk away.
Cats don't read comics.
That's right. They don't. They sit on them, though.
But they can write comics for DC.
They eat comics.
What cat is...
No, it's a... Comic. You didn't listen to last week's...
No, obviously I didn't.
...show where Marty and I spent a good portion of it trying to figure out how we could save DC comics.
Mm.
So, now this... before we get too far, I think we should, like, title each show like you would a comic.
Okay.
With this week being Titans of Rant.
Titans of Rant.
Titans of Rant.
I quite like that. That's very clever.
Because of, you know, going with the whole, you know, comic book motif and stuff. So this issue is Titans of Rant because in studio we have the two rantiest folks that I hang out with.
I represent that comment.
Yes, you do.
It's just kind of true.
And yes, the biggest, you guys have the biggest opinions, or the loudest opinions, one of the two.
I don't have opinions, I have facts.
And your opinions are always right.
Exactly.
Well, they usually,
yes.
Well, you know, it's funny, me and Marty, Martin Bruda, he's my best friend, okay, and and our whole friendship's based around comics, although it's gone quite deeper than that. We've traveled together, we've gone to many comic conventions together. We talk comics all the time, but it's really funny because a lot of the time our opinions almost always clash. I've noticed that we don't like the same stuff. Like, whatever I like, he hates. Whatever he likes, I couldn't care about.
That's because I'm not a 13-year-old girl.
Yes, well, nor am I. I just have a very eclectic taste in comic books. Okay, so, like, I'm really excited about Hellcat, okay? They had me at Cat.
How can you be excited about Hellcat?
I am so excited about Hellcat. It's the one book that I'm the most excited about in the new Marvel.
Oh my God, this could be horrible.
It's the return of the Patsy Walker title.
It's going to be horrible.
It's you know what?
Squirrel Girl, that's all I'm going to say. Squirrel Girl.
I love Squirrel
Girl. Squirrel Girl's horrible.
I love Squirrel Girl.
It's the worst comic that they made.
And it's one of the biggest cult comics right now in the
world. No, not at all.
It's doing quite well.
No, it's not.
Everybody loves Squirrel Girl.
Oh. I'm going to pull out some figures.
I'm just going to shut my mic off.
It's amazing.
You go ahead, Dan. I'm going to go get a coffee.
When we were at the Hamilton Comic Convention, there was this Squirrel Girl cosplayer, and I actually remember tugging on her tail and telling her I thought her costume was cool.
You could be arrested for
cosplay
that.
Is not consent.
Well, the tail was kind of in my way.
So you mean you were, like, batting her out of the way?
Yeah, well, and telling her how great her costume was.
Your costume looks awesome. Now get out of the way. There's comics behind you.
Yeah, so anyways.
So I had an idea, because okay. Because we've got the two rantiest folks in the studio today, you know, if there's anybody out there who wants to have a rant, a topic of their choice get ranted about, they can tweet with the hashtag Titans of Rant. And maybe if it's appropriate, we will talk about it.
Yeah. Try to make sure it's something we give a damn about, okay?
Well, how are they going to know that, though?
Like, if it's about Deadpool, I have nothing to say about Deadpool.
Then it's a good thing you missed last week's show.
Obviously.
Because it was all Deadpool, all 7 minutes.
That was a great week for me to be away.
We, because Marty recently bought New Mutants 98, I thought, hey, let's do an entire show themed around Deadpool.
And you got to admit, part of us...
We talked about Deadpool for 5 minutes.
Both of us are extremely jealous about that.
I am jealous.
Mm-hmm. Mine, it showed up at the door. It's actually kind of funny because the one day that was raining really bad, there was $1,500 worth of comic books sitting in front of my doorstep.
You know, it's funny. Honestly, I got to tell you, people, and I've seen a lot of comic collections in my life, but Martin Brutus' comic collection is the best comic collection
I've
ever
seen.
It is
not. It is not.
I didn't say it's the best one in the world. I just said it's the one best one that I have actually physically seen.
And touched.
And can we tell that story? Should we tell that story?
Yeah, that's what I was leading into. Now, before everybody starts to get all these weird thoughts about what I just said.
So
Sam has a great story about how he almost ruined their friendship.
Yeah, this only one time do I ever remember Martin ever like truly being angry at me. And I don't know. Do you want to set up the story? You set up the story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bottom line here. I love you. Okay. You're great. Okay. But you're blind as a bat.
Yes, I am.
I have seen you grab a $100 comic book in a comic shop, put 2 spine stresses in it just by touching it, and put it back and not realize what was going on.
Yeah.
So, needless to say, I had a few comic books in the back of the car, a little short box full of comics. We're driving along, and my good buddy Sam here decides he's going to pick one of the comic books out of the box to read while driving. Go ahead. Tell him which comic you were reading.
It was Wolverine number 1.
arguably the second most important comic book after Incredible Hulk 180.
It's true.
And this thing is in pristine, super-duper amazing condition to the point where I'm contemplating sending it to CGC. I don't do that often, but this is that nice. And Blind Boy here folds it in half. Wipes his bottom with it.
Fold in half. I was very careful.
Oh, you were not. And then when I said, what are you doing reading that book? You put it under your armpit while you held it to open the bag so you could stick it back in.
I didn't know.
Honest to goodness. No word of lie. 6 spine, color-breaking spine breaks.
Oh, my God. I just remember.
Destroyed it.
Maybe I don't quite remember the way the whole story goes. But the reason is because, first of all, he's over-exaggerating.
No,
just a little
I'm
bit.
Not.
Just a little bit. But I just
remember...
Okay,
you didn't wipe your bottom with it.
I just remembered the look of rage in your face. It was a rage I had never seen before. Not even when you're angry at your kids. I've never seen... I was waiting for one of your other eyeballs to go blind. Because the blind rage in his face. And his poor cousin Rich is sitting in the front seat with him going, oh, what's going on? Like, he wasn't sure what was going on there. Marty's driving the car and, like, I'm in the back seat. And he's like, you know... trying to grab his issue Wolverine number 1 while driving.
Oh yeah. We almost died that day. I almost
and Sam almost died afterwards.
Into a wall.
And now what's really funny is even when I'm at his place, I never ask. I mean, I never touch a comic without asking first, no matter what it is. I remember like looking at wanting to read a 20-cent Charlton horror comic and saying, can I look at that? And he let me, which was really great. So that's the only time our friendship's ever... The moral of the story is if your friend has an issue of Wolverine number 1, for the love of God, do not touch it.
Do you have any idea how many other comic books were in that box that you could have looked at?
There was a lot of comics in that box.
I mean, you could have pulled out the Femme Force. You could have pulled out the 14 copies of Wildstorm. You could have, like, read the... you could have... I would have actually preferred you to have wiped your bottom with any of the other comic books in that box.
The difference, what attracted me to Wolverine number 1 is the fact that I've never read it before. So there was
paperbacks are for.
There was a book I'd never seen before. I'm like, oh, Wolverine number 1. I wonder if it's any good.
I got a dollar copy of it. It's all mangled. You can read that one. Don't read the pristine one.
Well, I think I don't want to read it now. Actually, the little bit I read, it wasn't really that great, so I'm not that interested.
What? It is like one of the seminal Wolverine stories.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm just not a big Wolverine fan.
Oh, that's because Squirrel Girl wasn't in it.
I guess so. I got a copy of...
Or Bad Girl.
It was a reprint.
Or
a
Emo Black Canary with torn fishnets singing her rock songs.
It's not the worst Black Canary ever written. Okay. It's not the worst Black Canary.
You want a rant? Tell us which one is the worst Black
Canary. Okay, the worst Black Canary ever written in the history of comics was Chuck Dixon doing Birds of Prey. And he wrote a storyline where Black Canary was sleeping with Ra's al Ghul. And the fans went absolutely crazy saying, you know, maybe she might know who he is.
Of course she knew who Ra's al Ghul was. They're sitting around in the Super Friends headquarters on monitor duty. He's got to be in the top 10 list of most wanted villains.
But Chuck Dixon was like, no, I swear to God, how would she know? I'm like, I don't know, maybe Batman mentioned them. You know, they're both members of the Justice League. And okay, so there was a scene in the book where it was like a six story run, where Barbara Gordon, who was Oracle, says to her, you know, he's a supervillain, you know, like you can't be with him, and she's like, no, he's not. I'm in love with him. You just shut up, or I'm not going to come back to Gotham ever.
Wait a sec. When did we start talking about an episode of Arrow?
Anyway, it was horrible. It was like the worst Black Canary story. Well, what's interesting is the fans just went crazy, like just writing, going, what the hell's going on? And Chuck Dixon went on to his website at the time. It's called Dixonverse. And he wrote this retort saying that his idea of Black Canary is Black Canary's the nice girl in high school who gets together with the abusive jock because she doesn't know better. And that is how he saw the character. He was fired from DC about a month or two later. And he won't do comic book conventions in Canada because apparently he knows that he will one day and I'll track him down and punch him in the neck for that storyline because I'm not really over it.
Obviously.
So that would be the worst Black Canary ever written. I wasn't much of a rant, was it?
No, that was a heck of a rant.
Oh, was it?
That was more like a testimonial.
Have I ever mentioned how much I just love the Black Canary?
Yes.
It's come up?
Only every episode.
Okay.
So we used to like have segments to the show, right?
We did. Should we bring those back?
Yeah, let's
about,
do it.
How about we start with, Dan, what have you bought lately?
There you go.
All right, what have I bought lately? Well, let me tell you that I've bought nothing. Absolutely nothing. After the last time Sam was here, I think, possibly, was when I had bought something awesome and about my Captain Canuck number 1 9.8 CGC, and that's the last thing I bought because I was like, unlike Marty, I went, oh, so much money, and I said, I'm gonna take a little break from eBay, and I have, and I've just, you know, bought a few random comics from the local comic book store.
That's good. That's a lot of self-restraint, and I respect you for that.
Yeah, except then he sends me like tweets saying, hey, you should spend your money on this Captain Canuck number 4.
I think that I deserve the Best Friend of the Year award for finding a comic book that you really want for like half the price that it was going for.
Do you not have a copy of Captain Canuck number 4
already?
Well,
not this version. Hey, Marty, what did you buy this week?
Well, as a matter of fact, what I purchased was a Captain Canuck number 4. Now, most people will say, hey, Captain Canuck number 4, I can find that for $5. Not this one. What happened was after issue 1, 2, and 3, the publisher, Richard Cumley, had some financial woes, so he decided to shop around and get some more financing. So what he did was he printed off extra large size copies of number 4. There's 300 of them in existence that were printed, signed by all the creators, and he would like give those out to try to get some funds. He then printed off another 50 copies with a different color cover and also oversized. Mm-hmm. And then finally, when the funding came in, he printed the regular issue number 4 with CKR production. So that was two kind of hard to find. You could say that they weren't really published per se. They're more like ash cans. Mm. And I finally found a copy of the 300 print run that Dan so graciously found on eBay for me. I mean, we were tracking that particular sale, but the guy was always constantly, what was it, the buy it now was like $500 US or 400?
Yeah, it was much higher, and then it just popped up because I always follow Captain Canuck listings. And
exactly.
It just popped up.
So he changed it.
I was like, boom.
Yeah. So he changed it up to an auction because I guess nobody was interested at that high price. And you sent me the little text there, and I'm like, oh, let's take a peek. And there it was. It was 3 hours left in the auction. Nobody had bid. So I plunked down a few dollars there and ended up getting it at a really incredible price.
Well, that's great.
And it sat out in the rain.
It's okay though, right?
Oh yeah, everything was all packaged and sealed and everything was
my,
good.
My favorite thing, it's one of my favorite stories about traveling with Martin, is we've gone to quite a few comic conventions, and I swear to God, Richard Cumley's at every single comic convention we go to. And it's so funny because every convention, Marty talks to him, buys stuff from him, shakes his hand, they have a conversation, and Richard always looks right at him and he's like, pretending he knows who Martin is, but he clearly does not.
Oh, he must either be the nicest fellow on the planet or just forgetful because, yeah, he completely, there's no recognition there whatsoever. And then I say, hey, it's Martin from Peterborough. And he right away goes, oh, yes, Martin from Peterborough. How are things in Peterborough? And I'm still thinking to myself, you still have no idea.
It's
but that's
funny.
Okay.
You must talk to him 4 times a year.
Yeah, give or take.
Every year. But the thing is like you could just see the look of panic and confusion in Richard Cumley's face as Martin starts talking to him. Like, who is this guy? I know the face. I know the guy. Who is he? Oh, Martin from Peterborough. Right. You know, it's like.
It's not like we're having dinner at his house.
No, I understand.
Or anything, so
I understand
it's not
that,
like it's Dan Parent.
It's really
exactly.
Funny, you know. I just find it, you know.
But like I said, he's always incredibly
nice
kind.
Nice guy.
Sweet
really,
as
really
can
great.
Be.
Yeah.
I mean, nowadays there's all this debate about creators charging for signatures and stuff. And Richard is just right there. He won't charge for a signature. He just, you know, spreads the Captain Canuck love, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely an ace guy.
Yeah, I've got a couple of commissions
nice
from him
stuff,
done,
yeah.
And some one was a really nice oil painting that he did for me, and so it's been good. It's been really nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The thing is with like somebody like Richard, you know, he's not really famous.
Well, he's famous enough to a Captain Canuck aficionado. I mean,
yeah, to a Captain Canuck aficionado. But at those, there probably aren't lineups to meet him at those conventions.
No, there's a.
You'd be surprised. It's gotten
you
more.
You and Sam don't make a lineup.
No,
just
but
so you know.
I remember 15 years ago when I started going to conventions, Richard would be sitting alone at like an artist alley, trying to get you to come and talk to him. Now there's always like you know you got to wait to talk to him because there's always. People.
Well, that's got a lot to do with the resurgence of the
mm-hmm,
character,
mm-hmm.
You know.
The character's definitely become more popular.
The new title, the web miniseries mm-hmm. that they had, which season 2 is coming out shortly, so that'll be fun. It's a, you know, little animated cartoon that they've got going on. They're reprinting all sorts of trade paperbacks of the original material and stuff, so it's really nice. It's good.
Yeah. And you know what? I would love to get Richard on our show sometime. That's my goal. Sometime.
Well, you never know.
No, I mean,
I don't know
stranger
if he
things have
to
happened.
Too often, but
well,
you
could always
know.
Phone in or something. Not, I'd have to learn how to work the phones first.
He might forget who we are.
Oh, hey, it's Marty from Peterborough. Oh, it's Marty from Peterborough.
I don't want to go to Peterborough. That guy Martin lives in Peterborough. He's that weird, creepy guy that comes up to me every time.
I see him
convention.
4 times a year. So, Sam, did you buy anything this past week?
Yeah, we went and bought our stack of comics. Well, I think the most excited I am about a comic was from 2 weeks ago.
That's the wrong segment.
Week.
We're talking about stuff that
just
you
bought.
Not stuff that you read.
Well, I read
there's
everything
two different.
I buy.
What we don't.
Well,
what
I do.
Else
everything
well,
I read, I, everything I buy, I, gotta, I read.
I got to be honest with you. I did read that oversized ash can of Captain Canuck.
Was it the exact same as the regular version?
See,
yeah,
when it's stuff I buy, I mean, let's see. I bought some records. I bought some DVDs.
All right. Well, this is a perfect segue into our next segment. What did you read?
All right. There
oh, we're
go.
Going with what did you read already?
Yeah, we
go
have
nuts,
to.
Sam.
All right. Yeah, Sam, start her up.
Buy. I read. So the best thing I've read in the last two since I've been here is without a doubt Citizen Jack by from Image Comics. Image has been really interesting lately. I remember there was a time where I wouldn't touch an Image comic, and
that's because at that time Image was like nothing but ammo pouches and superheroes, and they really branched out and started, you know, supporting the small publisher. The indie kind of
definitely.
Groove, and they basically became the new Vertigo. I mean,
I think all the Image like The books that end up at the top of my pile every week is the Image books. The Image books Image is outdoing itself. And Citizen Jack, which is their newest book, I think is one of... I got to the middle of the book where the staples were, and I was already sold thinking, oh my God, I love this book. Basically what it is about this guy named Jack. I don't know his last name. And he's just this redneck, arsehole, bully... jerk from Minnesota.
And he's not even good at it either.
No, he's terrible. Like, he's a joke. Everybody hates him.
He used to be the mayor.
He used to be the mayor, but he was corrupt and he got, and now he just sells.
His ex-wife's now the mayor.
Yes, that's right. I forgot that. And now he sells snowblowers in Minnesota.
Well, he tries to sell snowblowers
so
in Minnesota.
So basically what he does is he makes a pact with Satan to become the president of the United States. And now, you know, the devil is working with him to turn him into the next U.S. president. It's very edgy. It's funny in all the right places, but it's kind of horrifying at the same time. I think it's just going to be a nice little book in the vein of Walking Dead or Southern Bastards or Preacher, that kind of thing. It's just... It had me sold. Jack isn't the kind of guy you love to hate. You just hate to hate him. You want to see him fail. But there's something about him. There's just something so wild, unruly about him and pathetic that he keeps your interest. And I just, man, I was sold. And as I said, everything, like, right now, so, like, I'm from Image, I'm getting Walking Dead, obviously, like everybody in the world, Rasputin, Plutonia, Paper Girls, and the next one starting out 2 weeks is Ringside, which I'm really looking forward to. Image Comics have just, I don't know, it's good, solid quality books these days.
No, to be fair, they do publish some stuff that nobody reads.
Such as?
Oh gosh, don't make me go to the internet. But that's the whole thing. I mean, there's all sorts of titles like, Mythic? Did anybody read Mythic?
No, I have no idea what that is.
There you go. Witches? Anybody reading Witches? I know it's... been optioned as a TV show like everything else has.
But yeah,
I've already talked about it.
Yeah, I personally don't know anybody who's reading that book.
I know Southern Bastards has been optioned.
So now you personally do know there somebody. You go. Yeah,
proven wrong.
Southern Bastards.
That was show number three, Marty.
Optioned for a TV series. Did you read the latest issue of that yet?
What's that?
Southern Bastards, the one that came out this week.
Yes. No,
you haven't read the latest issue?
I read the previous one.
Okay, it's fantastic. Again, fantastic. The previous one was just badass. And this one, again,
what happened in the last one?
The last one was the guy, the swamp guy who was the preacher. That goes,
oh, yeah.
What
yeah,
are the
yeah,
spoilers yeah, yeah. from the last one?
Yeah, yeah. This one was...
Well, that's a whole month. Everything. That's a whole month ago, so...
Yeah, so...
That's why I said the last one, not this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, even if you... If you're out there and you haven't read Southern Bastards, that is a trade paperback to run out and buy tomorrow.
So it's not out in trade paperback yet.
It's not yet.
Just as an example, Ninth Generation. Who reads Ninth Generation?
I've never even heard of that.
So you're using the internet to pull up cancel.
No, this is stuff that Image is selling in December. Okay. Astronauts in Trouble. I've heard of it, but I haven't read it.
Yeah, I've heard of it too.
The Autumn Lands. Yeah. Kurt Busiek. Ascend. There's a lot of hype about that for a little bit, but I didn't even bother trying it out.
No.
The Beauty. What else we got here? Birthright, issue 12. I've never heard of that. Black Jack Ketchum. Black Magic.
Okay, so
Black Science.
Your point is?
Bloodstrike. Oh my gosh, Bloodstrike? Rob Liefeld has an actual title out there?
Oh, jeez.
He does.
We issue don't need four? It. You know what? Rob Liefeld, we don't. Nobody needs to read a book by Rob Liefeld.
Chew. Nope. I've heard of Chew. I've read Chew.
Okay. Right? But what's your... Where are you going with this?
What I'm saying is basically, you know, you're saying Images, but I'm saying that they have just as many crappy books as all the other titles do.
Okay.
So you can point out, like, I'm sure you could pull five DC comics that are fantastic that you
I
read.
I can.
And
but
you can also pull out five Marvel books.
And I can, but they aren't as good as the five Image books.
Yeah, but... That's DC's problem, right?
That is DC's problem.
Dark Corridor? I haven't heard of that one either. Descender. Descender's awesome. You read Descender?
No, I haven't read that.
What?
Do you like it?
You need to read Descender. It's fantastic. Do you read Descender?
No.
You know what you need to read, Dan?
What do I need to read?
Citizen Jack. That's what you should be reading.
As you're telling the premise of that, I was thinking, I am going to go on eBay tonight.
Now, don't get me wrong. I don't
disagree. And buy 25 copies of that for when it comes out as the next huge TV show, because it sounds like the perfect TV show.
Oh, I know, doesn't it?
It sounds like it's just perfect.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you in that, like, Citizen Jack was fantastic. It's a great book. Mm-hmm. But Island Magazine, Jupiter's Circle, we've heard of that. Limbo, Material, there's that mythic. Monstrous, Nailbiter, have you ever heard of Nailbiter?
No.
Like, the list goes on. So they only have X number of titles that are doing what I would consider well. But the thing is that their lineup is versatile enough that stuff that you and I might like, somebody else doesn't, or stuff like this. So there's something to go to. It's not like Archie Comics, where all there is Archie. And if you don't like Archie, well, you're poop out of luck. You know, even, where is my Chilling Tales with Sabrina? Where is it? Where is it? It was a great comic. It was fun. Where is it? Where's the next issue?
That's the big problem with Archie Comics. They like to announce stuff, but they don't like to follow through with stuff.
Well, this is a series that's already been
What were we talking about? They've already announced the new Betty and Veronica for next spring being done by Adam Hughes.
Yeah. I think we talked about that, too. I don't know if that's going to happen. That's going to take a while.
Yeah. You know, they'll have like one issue
quarterly
in the spring of 2016. Second issue will come out in summer 2018.
And they're only 1 to 100 variants.
Yeah. No,
there's no regular covers.
Yeah.
That's what Adam Hughes will, does.
I'll buy everybody in this building a copy of Betty and Veronica number one if Adam Hughes ever puts it out.
That's a whopping five copies.
I know. So see, I can afford that. That's why I can make that promise.
Okay, well, you're talking about we were saying Image is the new Vertigo and stuff.
Yeah.
But Vertigo kind of re-kicked some stuff off and came out with some new titles. Which ones did you like of those?
Unfollow is my favorite so far.
I did read that. That's pretty good. I'm gonna follow that one.
Fantastic.
I'm gonna follow Unfollow.
Oh, I loved it. It the premise. No, you want me to do the premise again?
Yeah, because I can't remember.
Okay. So the premise of Unfollow is basically there's this guy and he created a social media platform, and it's a combination of like sort of like Twitter and Facebook, and he's dying. He's basically died, and what is it, 150 characters?
Yeah, I think it's 150 people.
150 people are splitting his...
$31 billion, was it?
$31 billion.
Something like that.
Of his fortune, and they're random. But basically, now they all have to come to this island where they're basically going to... It looks like set up that they're going to pick off each other off, because the more people that die, the more...
Yeah, I think that's like they didn't get into that in the first issue, but I feel like there's going to be one of those big scenes where everybody's sitting in the den with the big fireplace and the bear rug, and the guy's going to come out and go, "Yes, whoever survives the next 24 hours inherits it all."
Yeah, it's like and then it's going to be like battle royale.
He's going to throw a hockey bag full of like machetes and samurai swords on the ground. And goes, "Go at it!"
Yeah, it was really good. Twilight Children number 2 came out this week, and I reread Twilight Children 1 and 2 at the same time. It's decent.
I'll be honest with you, I bought it, but I haven't read it.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. The art is just phenomenal. It's Cliff Chiang that's doing the art?
Yeah.
No, it's Darwin Cook.
Yes, Darwin
Cook. Darwin Cook's doing the art for that, and it is just, the art's phenomenal. It is the most beautiful art. The story's fairly good. It's interesting. It's only a 4-parter. Clean Room, I got to admit, I didn't know what was going on, and I've already forgot. So when issue 2 of that comes in, I'll have to reread them as a set. But
yeah,
are the only Vertigo books I've read.
My 2-read pile is just wickedly, stupidly large, so I've got quite a few books there that I got to catch up on. But the other one, what was the Survivors Club?
Yeah, I didn't read that one.
I read that one, basically the idea is that this is a group of people that are being brought together that have survived some kind of a major, like a death of a loved one or a car accident. Mm. And like I said, just it's totally forgettable. I don't remember any of the characters' names. I don't. Yeah. So didn't like that one too much.
Next month they come out with Jacked, which is basically, it was done by Xenoscope Comics. It was called Fly by Raven Gregory. But now Vertigo is ripping off the concept. It's about these people, normal people that find a drug that turns them into superpowers, but the drug's addictive. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm willing to bet it won't be as good as Fly. But
yeah, you got me to read that Fly. That was pretty good.
Fantastic.
Did they ever come out with the second part of that? Or?
Yeah, second part came out. Oh. But then Raven Gregory.
Raven Gregory's not my friend.
No, he's not your friend. I love Raven Gregory's stuff, but.
Raven, we had a Kickstarter for a new comic book and.
Widow's Web.
Yeah, Widow's Web. So I ordered a bunch, ordered a set for myself, ordered a set for Sam. And you would think a comic professional would know how to mail a comic book. They just threw them in a manila envelope, put some stamps on it, and sent them in, and they were all destroyed. I'm not talking about a ding here. I'm not talking like a little, you know, bonk there. They were destroyed. And it was a pretty penny to get these books, so you'd think that the very least. So, of course, you know, hey, what's going on? This isn't right. You know, I'm willing to pay for shipping. Can I get some new copies? They're all sold out. You can't have any.
Yeah. But the story and the art were great, and I wish that Raven Gregory would stop doing whatever he's doing and get number three out. I
don't know whether it was just because of my bad experience, but I found them completely forgettable as well.
Oh, I loved them. No, I didn't forget them at all. I thought they were great. Yeah. I think Raven Gregory is one of my favorite comic book professionals that nobody knows about.
But you say that about everybody.
He's one of my least favorite comic professionals, no.
Well, fair enough. And you have all the reasons in the world to feel that way. So, wow, you've been really quiet over there, Dan.
Well, if the Titans of Rant are going, all I do is push buttons on the board.
Well, we miss your presence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is now a good time to talk about what I read this week?
Yes.
Okay. Nothing.
Oh.
Oh, just joking. Well, I've read a couple of comics. Nothing too, you know.
Well, did you pick up any of the new Marvel number ones?
Not this week. I didn't even make it to the store this week.
Okay.
Well, which ones did you read? Which ones did you like?
Well, what I'm going to talk about, what I read, is some Captain Canuck comic books from
Excellent.
I think I read number 4, 5, and 6, maybe, of the original run.
There you go.
Not even the new ones, but the classic ones.
There you go.
Yeah, because Marty has infected me with his love of Canuck.
Oh, it's so awesome.
And even though I, you know, might not think they're the greatest comic books in history, I want to own 10 million copies of each one
to
be like Marty.
Here's a confession that I will completely deny. They are horrible. They are awful. They're all over the place.
Like
He's a space traveler, then he's not a space traveler, then he's an RCMP officer, then he's not an RCMP officer, and then the RCMP officer meets the original Captain Canuck, who is an alien, and it's awfully horrible in a fantastic way.
I just got to the one that was his origin issue. I think number 4 was his origin issue, where it explains that he was out camping as a Boy Scout leader with his troop, and something frightened them, and then he got zapped by aliens, and that's how he got his super strength.
But see, that's what makes it so fantastic. I mean, Captain Canuck seems like the kind of thing that the guys from SCTV invented. You know? It just seems like one of those things that it was just so outrageous. And the art, I mean, the first few issues, Richard had this really neat coloring idea where he painted on acetate instead of filling in the lines like a coloring book. And the art is just so different than what was going on back then. And it's just, it's really an interesting, fun comic to read. But yeah,
it's not a page turner.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to be like, oh my God, what happens next? Yes.
Exactly. But it's
on to the next issue.
It's plain fun. The history, the publishing history, how weird it all went down, and some of the behind the scenes drama. And honestly, it could be made into a CBC TV movie. And,
or a comic book series?
No, no.
A comic book series about
the making. Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Series?
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
At Cumberly Productions.
I think between the two of us, we must have got most of the Marvel number ones this week.
I'm pretty sure
we did. Did you? I think my favorite number one this week, I'd probably say Web Warriors was a good read.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get that one up.
Web Warriors was a good read. It was solid.
How was Spider-Gwen in that one, Sam?
Spider-Gwen was better in Web Warriors than Spider-Gwen number 2.
No, I haven't read Spider-Gwen.
I didn't understand Spider-Gwen number 2. I didn't get it. They introduced a new Captain America. I had no idea what was going on. It was like, what is this? So I'm really excited about Spider-Gwen number 3 because I think it'll be better than Spider-Gwen number 2. But Spider-Gwen but you know what I found? I didn't realize Spider-Gwen. I thought she was going to be the leader of the Web Warriors, but she just said
Spider-Gwen like 13 times.
I can say Spider-Gwen
seconds.
Forever. Oh my God, I love Spider-Gwen so much. I think I'm getting a Zatanna tattoo as my next tattoo, but I've been thinking about Spider-Gwen. I really think there's going to be a Spider-Gwen tattoo eventually.
That'd be awesome. Just, then 10 years from now, somebody will look at it and go, who is that?
And I'll be like, oh my God, Spider-Gwen? Like, seriously?
And they'll be like, who? And you'll have to go, Spider-Gwen was this character that just, I'm going to make a confession. It was the horrible comic book.
No, Spider-Gwen will never be horrible. Spider-Gwen's never going away.
It's a great concept, but I'm
Spider-Gwen
not digging the new series
forever.
At all.
No, I'm not actually. Number one was okay. Number two is pretty weak. Web Warriors was really, really great, though.
Has the new Silk come out yet?
Next week. Okay. Yeah. Next week. Silk was definitely the better of the two.
Now, mind series. You, in the old series, I found the Silk title better than the Spider-Man.
Me too.
That's what everybody says.
Yeah, Silk is the better of the two series. Not the better of the two characters, but definitely the better of the two series. Yeah, I have to go along. I have to go along with that.
I bought a whack of Avengers. What was it? All new, all different Avengers?
Yeah, how were they?
That was horrible.
What was
that
it?
Was just
it wasn't all new, all different.
It's one of those things where maybe it's Avenger overload. I mean, I grabbed what's the other one?
Uncanny Avengers.
Uncanny Avengers, which I actually liked a lot, and Spidey's in it for a few panels, and then he's
so
like,
is this issue two or?
And then
you're
he's
talking
like,
about number
I'm out of here, number one.
Okay.
And then Spidey's like, I'm out of here, and I'm like, no, Spider-Man should be in there. Like that should be fun. Put Spider-Man and Deadpool together, and you know they're going to be jostling for the one-liners. That'd be fun. But no, he took off. It just seems like I don't know. It's just I can only say that I'm oversaturated with Avengers. There's too many books. Too many characters on the teams. The teams are weird and strange, and it's almost like let's make 14 Justice League of America books.
Yeah, we don't need that. That doesn't have to happen.
You know, they're trying to turn Avengers into a franchise, and well,
but it
something.
Already is a franchise.
Yeah, exactly. Like it doesn't. You what's wrong with it. Making like the Avengers book and have like the Avengers in it, the Avengers that everybody knows, the Avengers from TV. You know, somebody's.
But it doesn't go with the new diversification.
No, well,
because that's really what all new Avengers is, right? It's like the diverse Avengers. Yeah, just speak carefully. Speak carefully.
Well, let's go to another
speak
topic.
Carefully.
Let's go to another topic. There was an interesting thing that happened this week. We didn't do comic news. This is my. Piece of comic news.
Okay. Comic right. news.
In this latest issue of Power Girl and Harley Quinn.
This doesn't sound like comic news.
It is comic news.
Is this about that stupid guy?
Vartox? Of course.
Vartox is not stupid.
Vartox had
He's awesome.
His mustache ripped off by Harley Quinn when she went crazy.
That is like taking Sean Connery's mustache off his
Just
face.
Just ripped it off. But then Vartox showed a new superpower where he can actually grow a new mustache at will.
There you go.
All right.
Move over, Movember.
So if you're looking for a key comic book to buy this week.
It's Vartox. No,
Power
not Vartox.
Girl, Harley Quinn.
Number five,
where Vartox shows his new superpower. Like, that's going to go down in history as one of, like, Avengers number one, Hulk 181, New Mutants 98.
I'm really
Power
figuring
Girl,
that Vartox
Harley
should
Quinn
probably
five.
Get his own book. Like, how can people like the Green Team and get their own book and Vartox?
Oh, I don't understand the Green Team getting a title at all.
No.
I don't understand how that happened, why, who was screaming and crying for this. And
I don't even know what the Green Team is.
Exactly.
But meanwhile, Vartox, well, you know, the only reason Vartox is Jimmy Palamati and Amanda Connor are huge Vartox fans. Because they've been, like, putting him in their comics for a couple of years now.
There you go.
You know, like, he was originally, a Superman villain, wasn't he?
Yeah,
in the 70s?
He was in Action Comics a couple of times. Superman, fighting Superman, because he was sort of like the anti-Superman in that he had very similar powers and stuff. So
can Superman grow a mustache at will?
No, that's what I mean.
No, man. He's falling behind in the superpower arms race with Vartox.
I think we need to get emo crew cut. Superman in the black
t-shirt
to grow a beard.
I don't think he can grow facial hair.
Well, I don't know.
That one.
Oh, yeah, I think he has to be under the red sun to grow facial hair. There's that famous comic book, Action Comics cover with Superman under the red sun and the world's all been destroyed and he has the full beard.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, John Byrne did explain in his Man of Steel series way back when they kind of soft rebooted Superman as to how he shaves with a piece of his spacecraft canopy and he uses his laser vision and it bounces off the canopy and it burns each individual hair. So he just sits there zzz, zzz,
and burn. That's how he shaves.
I wonder. It just makes you wonder how John Byrne sleeps at night coming up with this stuff.
Don't forget that John Byrne is a Canadian who was raised on SCTV. I find that whole idea hilarious. And I honestly think he's put it in there as like an inside joke. Like, look how ridiculous it is. Superman burns each individual hair at once.
Wasn't it John Byrne who put She-Hulk in the Fantastic Four?
Yes.
Which you bought this week.
Which I bought a whole bunch of this
week. I know. I was really jealous when I saw that first She-Hulk in Fantastic Four. I was like, wow.
Well, I've been trying to get that whole John Byrne run of Fantastic Four because I didn't read it originally the first time it came out. So, we were at a fun little warehouse that has an incredible deal on comic books. They're like $1 a piece, but you got to dig.
So you didn't invite me this time?
No. What day was that?
Wednesday.
Yeah.
It was very last minute. We weren't planning on going.
We were just going to go down to the Oshawa area, and then Chris Gilpin was down there at the crack of dawn, banging on the windows. Let me in. I want some books.
So, did they have more? Did they have a new?
I don't know if they have anything. I don't think they have new.
Just going through the same stuff that you guys went through last time.
I know I have to go back because I didn't have enough money to get everything I wanted.
Well, it's one of those things where he's got 450 long boxes in a warehouse. There's no way, unless you spent 2 whole days there.
But we spent one whole day, though.
Well, no, it wasn't that bad. It was about 5 hours.
We got kicked out because they were closing.
Yeah, this time we got kicked out because they were closing at 3. So, but I managed to grab a healthy chunk of those Fantastic Fours.
Yeah, they were nice.
But it's still not complete. I'm still missing a few.
And that's the end of the rants.
There you go.
There we go.
You know what I am still missing, though?
What's that?
I'm missing one issue of The Incredible Hercules. I can't remember which one. 131, 137. I can't find it anywhere.
Okay.
It's been almost like 4 months, and wasn't there a sale on
Mile High? You should have bought it at Mile High this week. I would have probably added a few books.
Don't even joke. Yeah, Mile High, they're moving one of their warehouses and closing it down and selling it to the real estate market. I guess Chuck needs some cash, so he's going to Chuck needs some cash.
Does he need some cash? Because I heard a different rumor.
Always needs some cash.
I heard a different rumor.
He's always complaining how broke he is. And so he's getting rid of that warehouse and amalgamating everything into the one location. And so he's got this big 50% off.
Do you want to hear the rumor that I heard?
Yes, absolutely.
The rumor that I heard is that he's selling it to somebody who's interested in purchasing that for a marijuana distribution center.
Yes. That's exactly what he said in his little press release. There was that
of course, because it takes place. It's in Colorado.
It's legal in Colorado,
and
apparently the demand for large warehousing is high because of these
people that want to get high.
Medical marijuana facilities, so to speak.
Colorado Rocky Mountain High.
There you go. So he sent out a little email there. So everything's 50% off. So as Dan mentioned, that means that everything's possibly close to being reasonably priced.
Yes, because I find their prices Mile High as well.
Not only are their prices a little high, I think they overgrade quite heavily. I've gotten a couple of books from them that... this is a very fine book, and anybody would look at it and say, no, that's good.
When you mentioned it, I was on the site looking at copies of Swing with Scooter that I don't have, and I thought, oh man, I can get most of the ones.
What's
the
Swing with Scooter?
Are you kidding me? You don't know this?
No.
Are you just being facetious and making fun of me?
No. That title ended how long ago? Probably Dan wasn't even born when
1972,
that title
came out.
There you go. Dan, were you born in 1972?
No.
Okay, there you go. How would Dan know what Swing with Scooter is?
Because I only bring it up every time we ever do anything.
No, you don't. I haven't heard you talk about Swing with Scooter in at least an hour.
How long has the show been on?
Swing with Scooter is one of my favorite DC guilty pleasures, okay? It's basically... an Archie-esque book from the late 60s, early 70s. It dated itself very quickly. What the concept was, Scooter was actually based on Paul McCartney. And it was, what if Paul McCartney came to the States and went into a normal high school? What would that be like? So Scooter is like this British mod that drives around in one of those Vespa scooters and plays guitar. And he has his friends that are just... basically just Archie, rip-off characters. There's a Reggie-type character and a Betty-type character and a Veronica-type character. And they have fun misadventures and little, daring do's and stuff like that. And it's beautifully dated. They say stuff like Ginchy and Far Out.
And the pants that they're wearing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's just... I mean, it's fantastic. I think the most shocking thing I saw, I was reading an issue of Swing with Scooter a few weeks ago, and in a two-page spread, they actually made some horrible racial Asian jokes, a gay joke, and a joke about fat girls in a two-page spread, which shows you how unpolitically correct these books were at the time, too. I mean, they're just... outrageous, but a lot of fun. I'm a huge fan of Swing of Scooter. I've been collecting them for a while, and last time when we were in Hamilton, I got Dan Parent to draw me a Swing of Scooter.
There you go.
Pin-up, yeah.
Now, you know how they always like reintroduce the characters, even for something stupid, just to keep the copyright going?
Yeah.
Like, they put Sugar and Spice in something. Mm-hmm. What was it? Sugar and Spike in something dumb. Can't even remember.
They did put him in Wonder Woman in like the back panels, last panel.
Yeah, exactly. Have they done anything with Swing with Scooter?
Scooter should seriously be coming up with for a copyright lately. soon. For years,
I'm just wondering because, you know,
we could jump on that. Dan Didio used to do panels every year at Fan Expo, and every year I would ask the same question: when are you bringing back Swing with Scooter?
And that's why you were banned from Fan Expo.
Well, no, not so much. But what I will say, the last time I saw Dan Didio, it was at Fan Expo, and he was coming down a corridor, and I was going on the other way. And our eyes met, and he looked at me, and he said, "I don't swing with Scooter."
There you go.
So,
but I mean, if Archie can't survive printing Archie, then how is DC going to survive printing Swing with Scooter?
Well, if they did Green Team.
Yeah, but they didn't really do Green Team because it didn't last long.
No, but
it was like okay, here you go, here's your little vanity project, whoever it was. And
yeah, but you know what, even if they did like two issues a Swing with Scooter, I would be happy. However, you know, they'd screw it up,
or at least a trade paperback.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
I don't know, maybe the originals are missing, the art's gone and stuff, because, you know,
yeah,
in order to trade paperback, I'm trying to remember which trade paperback they were. They did a trade, and they couldn't find some of the original issues.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it might have been a Captain Canuck. I can't remember. Anyways, old age, the brain's going. And so what they did was they scanned the comic,
mm-hmm,
and put it in without any kind of fixing up or cleaning up. And you could tell it wasn't that great.
Yeah. What did you think of the Neil Adam variant covers that are coming out? Are they not awesome?
I'm going to be getting every single one of them.
Oh, they're beautiful. They haven't even shown, they've just done the sketches. They haven't even shown what they really look like.
Now, I'm a big Neil Adams fan from the day. Just massive and just, I mean, he changed everything.
No.
When I was reading like Kurt Swan Superman and that 1950s style, that coloring book that's been filled in style that Kurt Swan had, and all of a sudden Neil Adams comes in and those dynamic pages and panels and layouts. And he's done some art recently, but, you know, I always find it...
Some of his art recently, like, what was that Batman series he tried to do?
Batman Odyssey.
And Batman was... any excuse that Neil Adams could to get Batman to take his shirt off, he went for it. And then he made him so hairy that he looked like the Wolfman underneath that shirt.
See, that's the one problem with Neil Adams. He's a great artist. He should not write.
No. But no, that was just the art.
Yeah.
Did you notice how hairy the Batman was in every issue?
No, I've seen my uncle with his shirt off. it's not that inaccurate.
Bruce
depiction.
Wayne is not that hairy.
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't fantasize about Bruce Wayne shirtless to have an opinion on
He's not that hairy.
He's Batman. He's hair man. But, so in February, they're going to release a whole bunch of variant covers, as they usually do. And the theme this time around, what was the theme this month? The Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes.
Some of those are fantastic. Digressing. In February, it's going to be Neil Adams is going to do unusual takes on some of his more famous covers.
Yeah.
So, for example, the Green Lantern cover, very famous Green Lantern, Green Arrow, with Hal Jordan and Oliver Queen looking at Roy Harper, you know, taking drugs. That's been switched around. It's going to be Superman, Batman, and Robin. You know, stuff like that. So,
have you seen the cover that Dan Parent did? He did a takeoff on that where with Archie and Kevin Keller and Jughead.
No,
have you
not? No.
Oh, that's funny. And it's basically Jughead. Like, I don't know. It's like Jughead like trying to like, I don't know if he's trying to put hamburgers in her veins or something like that. Like, basically, it's Jughead eating too much, and it's Kevin Keller and now, Archie. Like,
now, mind you, I've got this problem with a couple of artists. John Byrne is one. Neil Adams mm-hmm. is another. That new all new Hawkeye that came out with Ramon Perez. Yeah. I've seen Ramon Perez's art. It's really nice, but this particular title, what's happening is it's almost like they're turning in sketches instead of actual finished pages. The detail isn't there. The I don't know if they're just, you know, submitting the pencils and cranking the contrast in the Photoshop and saying, there you go, it's inked. But really, an inker should get their paws on these pages and finish them. They really look unfinished. So a lot of the Neil Adams stuff has had this kind of sketchy, pencil-y, I'm doing this real quick at a comic convention look to it. So the previews that we saw were just blue line pencil pages. Mm. So gosh only knows if they're going to be finished up and looking good. Like, he did a couple of, for the All-Star Superman, he did a variant cover for it, and I thought it was horrible. You know, he did a really nice Green Lantern, Green Arrow with, Starro on his face?
Starro the Conqueror.
Yeah, and that was pretty good. But generally speaking,
I think the best tattoo in the world would be get a Starro the Conqueror tattoo right on your face.
Okay.
I'm not going to do it, but I would love...
That's dedication.
I would love to see the person who would.
That's dedication to put Starro on your face.
Yes, yes.
Why is that octopus on your face? It's not an octopus. It's Starro.
There you go. He's the Conqueror.
I saw this great cosplay online recently, where it was a Starro, the guy dressed up as Starro, and he had members like Justice League Migos from his limbs.
To make it look like that famous cover.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, they need to bring. They haven't. Starro hasn't been in anything lately. They need to do something with Starro.
No, he was just
when
fairly recently, when? In like the last Justice League series, I think.
Was he?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, you think I would have remembered that?
Well, it wasn't very. See, this is the problem. I'm either reading too many books, and I can't remember what's happening in each title, or the books are that forgettable. Because right. Yeah, exactly. I recall seeing it. But can I tell you exactly which title and which number? No, I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Starro should get his own book.
Oh, God.
You think everybody should get his own book.
Well, anybody
I Starro
like.
Team.
Yeah, Starro and Vartok should have, like, a team up.
I would buy a Vartok
comedy,
book.
A cop buddy.
Yeah.
I would cop buy buddies. A Vartok book.
That'd I would, awesome. Too, but I would also buy Vartok's book. You know, I bet you, like, I met Jimmy Palamati and Aunt Amanda Connor last summer, and maybe if there's someplace this year we could say to them, hey. What about doing Vartox?
No, is that title any good? Because I didn't pick it up.
It's
Power Girl and Harley Quinn.
You know what? It's been uneven at best, but the last issue was awesome.
Yeah.
And but if only you one take Vartox out, how was it?
It sucked. Okay. Without Vartox, that book's no good.
Because I know how you feel about Vartox.
So. Yeah, but I love Harley Quinn, and Marty loves Power Girl. I think it would work better as a trade, like to read all at once. Like, I think if you went back and you read 1 through 6 in one sitting, it would be great. So if you you know,
it's like a lot of books.
Tell you what, I'll get it for your birthday next year.
There you go.
Okay.
A lot of books do better if you read them quickly. You know?
Yeah, I find that too.
Sometimes the pacing in comics, you know, they stretch it out too many issues just to make it last, and you don't get enough in each issue.
I'm a big fan of Terry Moore, who does abstract comics, and his current book is called Rachel Rising. And I've been basically buying Rachel Rising out of dedication, having no idea what's going on issue for issue. Once I got to about issue 25, I sat down and read 1 to 25 in one sitting, and it was excellent. Like, issue to issue, I was like, I don't even know why I'm still buying this. But once I read it all, and now what's interesting now, every time, it only comes out every 2 months, but now every time it comes out, like, I know what's going on now because I read 1 to 25 in one solid go.
Yeah, again, you know, maybe we're just reading too many titles, but if you don't remember what happened in the issue before...
That's usually when I drop it.
Yeah, it's usually
unless it's Secret Wars.
Oh my,
and that's
goodness.
Because you're still waiting.
I haven't even read that yet. It's in the bottom of my to read pile. It's got
to
be.
I'm 2 to 3 issues behind, depending on if they've released 7 yet.
Yeah, like
no,
total,
they haven't released.
Total, then I'm just 2 behind.
Total lack of momentum there, making that delay so badly, and it just
Now, did you guys quickly? We're running out of time here, but what title was it that I was reading that had Iron Man? Where they introduced the new Dr. Von Doom. Did you read that one?
Yeah, it was Iron Man.
That's what I said.
The Invincible Iron Man.
I started a sentence, and then I realized what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Marty.
Okay.
So did you read Iron Man with this new Dr. Von Doom, who's now this handsome man?
He's purdy. He's and real purdy.
Instead
he's
of, because the whole point of Dr. Doom is that he's scarred or like, you know,
so he's
hiding
like, he's
himself.
Like the new Jimmy Olsen.
He is.
There you go. He's handsome. Yeah. He's real
great.
Looks skinny, Amanda Waller.
I haven't read issue 3 to see where that's gone.
No,
I'm
that's,
only up to
that's
number
in
two,
my
but...
to read pile too. I was so busy. I was rebagging 2,500 comic books and new.
I offered to take them off your hands, but you just ignored me.
Yeah, no, you can't.
Have I offered at least to come over and keep you company while you're doing it.
Well, there you go. Come on over.
Okay, I will.
Okay, right, I'll make waffles.
I can't tomorrow morning, but.
Oh! No, waffles solo. Yeah,
for lunch, I could do it for lunch.
Although Chris was going to come over this morning for waffles until I slept in all day. And
hey, could we have waffles for dinner tomorrow night?
Yes.
Can you eat waffles with syrup while you're bagging and boarding?
Hell no.
You got to take.
But
a break.
We have to have the waffles first. So we'll have
because he's going to put waffle syrup all over my Wolverine number one.
You definitely will.
He'll use it as a placemat.
One thing I would like to say, you guys cut me off about 45 minutes ago when I was talking about what comic books I've read.
Okay, go ahead.
I just kind of let it slide, but I've read a
couple.
Quick,
you got 3 minutes.
I know. I'm watching the clock.
Okay, don't let me stop you.
I've got...
whenever you're ready.
I read a couple of Doctor Who comics because I recently got sort of like this cool thing where now I'm reviewing Doctor Who comics for this humongous website, DoctorWhoNews.net.
And I do have to point out to everybody that if you go to HeyKidsComics.ca, scroll to the bottom, you'll see a link to Dan's excellent review, so definitely check it out.
Awesome. That's a really great gig you got there. I'm very, very proud of you, Dan.
Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And on that note, I guess that's the perfect note for us to end our Titans of Rant show. I really do feel like this was a rant-filled show.
I don't know if we ranted or we just...
No, you ranted.
Did we?
From somebody on the outside here, it was a rant.
I didn't break a sweat, though.
Well, there's always next week.
At no point did I
week.
Get angry and my face didn't turn red.
Well, you're not the Hulk, so I would expect
that would make
you...
me Red Hulk, wouldn't it?
Hulk smash.
Hulk mad. All right, anyways.
I'd rather be Hellcat.
Thanks for being our sidekick this issue of Hey Kids Comics. You can tune in next Saturday at 8 p.m. and listen to some fresh rants from these guys.
You're listening to Trent Radio 92.7 CFFFFM, broadcasting from the corner of Georgian Park Hill in Peterborough, Ontario.
This is Trent Radio 92.7 FM, 92.7 years old, with 92.7% less fat. You're listening to Trent Radio, http://www.trentradio.ca:8800/hi-fi.m3u.
92.7 FM on your dial.
Hello? How you doing? Oh, we're still at the radio. We're doing a sting. So you're being recorded. You and me, we're on the air. You want to say hi?